Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the Lodestar podcast News in Brief. My name is Charlotte Goldstone. I am a news reporter for the Lodestar. The observant listeners among you will have noticed that I'm in fact not Mike King. And you don't have to worry because I'm not here to replace Mike and his brilliant podcasts, if you're listening, Mike. Instead, I am going to be hosting a journalists round table and we're going to be looking at the previous week's news. We're also going to be giving you some exclusive insights about what is to come in this week's news. And so to kick off this very special inaugural episode of the Lodestar podcast News in Brief, I am joined by the managing editor, Gavin Van Maal. Hi, Gavin. Could you give us a rundown on the ocean freight rates, please?
Yes, of course, Charlotte. Rates on the North American trade, either Trans-Pacific or into the East Coast, have been flat again this week. Rates on the transatlantic have also been very stable. It's really on Asia-Europe that we're seeing the real movement. There have been a variety of FAK rate increases announced by certain carriers. There's also increasing amounts of peak season surcharges being applied. We are seeing that demand has grown very sharply over the last 2 weeks, 10 days, and pricing seems to be going up very high as a result. Maersk is raising its peak season surcharge on Asia North Europe shipments from the current level of $250 per TEU to $750 per TEU from the 11th of May. So that's a tripling in just the peak season surcharge.
And I presume that's something to do with the Red Sea.
Indeed. I mean, what isn't these days? That's basically giving the carriers the opportunity to raise the spot rates on that market.
And also this week, we've had lots of carriers releasing their Q1 results.
It's probably worth noting that recent rate hikes on Asia-Europe are only just starting to feed into the numbers that we're seeing on carriers' balance sheets. But earnings season has begun. We had Ocean Network Express release its full year results. They posted an EBIT of $320 million. Now, as a result of the Red Sea crisis, their guidance for their full year 2024 earnings has suddenly gone up to a net profit of $1 billion. This happened a couple of days before Maersk released its first quarter results for 2024. All the expectation about this was whether they would revise their previous guidance, which had been, we're either going to break even or we're going to lose up to $5 billion in 2024. So seeing what the effect the Red Sea had on their first quarter is obviously quite an anticipated event. And the group-wide delivered an EBIT of $177 million. That was basically propped up by their terminals division. Their shipping division actually lost $161 million, and Chief Executive Vincent Clerc had lots to say about the Red Sea, most of which centred around, I don't know how long this is going to go on for, and therefore I'm not willing to really give you too much guidance. They did actually review their guidance, so now it is that they're going to go anywhere from break-even to losing $2 billion.
So, yes, in short, I mean, there's lots of surcharges, the rates are high, and carriers are seemingly profiting from this. But we also reported last week that the CEO of Yang Ming warned about a tonnage overhang. And obviously, at the moment, this overcapacity in the market is being absorbed by the Red Sea diversions. But once carriers are able to start transiting through the Red Sea again, overcapacity is going to become a lot more apparent. We also reported that this is the complete opposite of what's been happening in air freight. So to talk to us a bit more about that, we've got Lodestar publisher Alex Linnane. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Charlotte. Yeah, so I was at CNS in Dallas a week or so ago, and forwarders and airlines basically spend 2 to 3 days just talking through volume and capacity requirements for Q4 and 2025. And both carriers and forwarders were saying that it's really likely there's going to be a bit of a capacity crunch in the fourth quarter. The market has started to get used to the fact that e-commerce platforms are taking on a lot of the capacity in the market and are squeezing it quite a lot.
Yeah, well, I was actually at Qatar a week and a half ago with Qatar Airways, and I spoke to their chief officer of cargo, Mark Drush, and he said that he was very optimistic for Q4, but he did say that he will always put capacity where it's best utilised. And he did also say that e-commerce was one of the main sources of their volumes. And he said that he did not think this was going to go away, which was something that you actually looked at last week, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. We've just run a big series on e-commerce on thelodestar.com. I mean, I personally think that there's a bit of an existential threat to it, and I'm worried that the airlines are relying on it too much. Whatever you look at, whether it's lost taxes, dangerous goods slipping in, security, fears of Chinese surveillance, lots of governments are looking very closely at e-commerce at the moment. And I think that there's going to be increasing numbers of restrictions on it. And that's even before you look at the environmental and economic sustainability of it. I mean, in terms of economic and environment, it seems very likely that e-commerce will have to switch from a drop shipping business model to perhaps slower sea freight moves and then into regional distribution centres. And that will have a big effect on air freight and the volume and demand. And I think that airlines need to start looking at what the next big thing in air freight is going to be.
So hopefully now you're up to date with everything that happened last week. This week, we've got a few more Q1 results coming out, specifically Expeditors and DHL. They're both putting out their results tomorrow. As much as I would like to tell you exactly what these results are going to be, I could hazard a guess looking at the other large forwarders that have released their Q1 results. Kuhne & Nagel's gross profit was down 13% and C.H. Robinson's gross profit was down 4.5%. And both of them cited rise in operating costs. So we can probably assume that Q1 will be a slightly weaker one for DHL and Expeditors, but we will have to wait and see. Now, last week marked 20 weeks since the major ocean carriers began to divert around the Cape of Good Hope because of all the attacks going on for vessels transiting through the Red Sea. And there was some good news last week in that the MSC Aries crew was finally released. The MSC Aries was seized on the 13th of April, so the crew had been there for just over 2 weeks. They were released on Friday. The ship and the cargo are still being held. And the Houthi leader did a speech on Thursday, and he vowed to escalate the attacks in the Red Sea unless Israel call a ceasefire on the war in Gaza and the US stop attacking Yemen. And Lars Jensen noted that the Houthis do not issue idle threats, so he warned the shipping sector should not hope for a speedy resolution. And he said that the escalation could mean an increase in attacks or an expansion of the risk area. So we will keep you updated on that as the situation develops. I also wrote last week that there was a rail strike announced in Canada, and the TCRC union said that there would be a strike on the 22nd of May if their rail employers hadn't given them a good enough offer by then. So we will see this week if there is any more updates on the negotiations. I know that Canadian National Rail did say before that they were not hopeful that they would reach an agreement. So we'll have to wait and see. On a slightly more positive note, I am doing an interview with DB Schenker on Wednesday, and I'm going to be talking to one of their apprentices. Now, this apprentice from Germany is currently doing work in Texas, of all places, which is really exciting. So I'm going to be talking to her about her experiences on the apprenticeship. And I'm also going to be talking to one of the apprenticeship designers about how this helps young people get into the industry. On top of all of that, we have to factor in the likelihood of black swan events, especially in logistics. You can just never plan what is coming up. So I'm sure there'll be something that no one has prepared for. We will keep you updated. Keep an eye on the Lodestar for all your news updates. I really hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and please get in touch with me if you have any feedback. See you next time.